Hello and welcome back to another episode of Scottish Football Covered. I am Stefan Carlin, joined by Mac today. Mac, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Very good. What a brilliant weekend of football. Loads of goals, loads of talking points, which we're going to cover. Just two man today with Ant and Dick, but who needs the rest of them?
Well, exactly. That's what I was about to say. It's a shorter lineup today, but as long as there's two of us, we can talk about all things Scottish football. We will go over all the weekend's results in the Scottish Premiership, and we will start though with probably the biggest game in football, at least on these aisles, Celtic versus Rangers in the Premier Sports League Cup final. Mac, start us off. What do you think of the game? How do you think it went?
You do, I don't even know where to start talking about. It was two teams. It was a weird one going in there. Celtic, if you'd said to a lot of people a month ago, you'd have predicted Celtic to win about 5-0, 4-0 maybe. But leading into it, Rangers got a bit of form. Celtic's probably plateaued a wee bit in the weeks leading up to it. But it was just, I don't think I was saying it would be a tight one, be one going in it. It was goals, 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 drama, drama, drama. And off the top of my head, I kind of think of a better cup final. It's a brilliant advert for Scottish football as well.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. So many people, I've seen tweets on Twitter, people that mainly don't have a vested interest in Scottish football were like, what an advert, what a game. I think it surprised a lot of people. I thought Rangers' performance was a much needed one from them. We know their form. Since the start of the season, they've started to pick up a fair deal of momentum, both in Europe and domestically. And then for it to, culminate in the way that they played yesterday, it was a massively improved performance. And, some can probably look at that and say it's the hardest way to lose a game of football, but they gave literally everything they could to Celtic and then some. And unfortunately for them, they came up just short. There were so many talking points within the game, but let's start with Greg Taylor's mistake for the first goal. Was that, do you think that was more of Greg Taylor just maybe wasn't thinking, lost concentration, or was it a well-set trap by Rangers to know that this is how Celtic play, and maybe they just anticipated it?
I think it was just a bit of both, but I think it was more just a lapse in concentration with Greg Taylor. It was just you that used to just playing that ball. And obviously, you've said Rangers probably noticed that and they've known he's going to play the balls into Carter Vickers in the other centre half. But it's got to, if you're doing that at that end of the pitch, way against a team like Rangers, you've got to pass the ball with a bit more purpose and they've never done that and ultimately paid the price.
Yeah, I remember watching it. It was an unusual one. There wasn't that much weight on the pass, and I think it was Bayrami that picked the ball up, drove forward, gave it to Hamza Egerman, and Schmeichel with a decent save, but you probably at his standards he probably wanted to do better there. Before I think it was Bayrami that drove it home. Rangers went into half time 1-0 up. What were you thinking at that point? Did you think Celtic could come back? It was a weird performance from them first half. They never really got going. They had a couple of chances with Nico Kuhn and Kyogo, but they didn't really look like they'd set the heather alight.
No, not at all. I think at that stage it's still a cup final. You couldn't have predicted what was going to happen. But Celtic never really looked. They looked a shadow of themselves in the first half, compared to the standard they've set earlier this season. So, Brendan Rodgers just had to get the team top right. And whatever he said, obviously, what the two goals in the first 10 minutes of the second half could have went 2-0 down though. I'm sure we'll get into that. Could have went 2-0 down if it wasn't for some brilliant defending for Carter Vickers. The question I'll pose to you, Stefan, see Carter Vickers, where do you think he ranks in terms of Celtic centre halves since he's done the millennium?
He's definitely the top three, I think, for Celtic defenders. Celtic have had a lot of great centre backs in recent well, since the turn of the millennium. Virgil van Dijk, I don't know where I would put Carter Vickers and Virgil van Dijk. You look at the career Virgil van Dijk's went on to have at Southampton and then at Liverpool. You see what he's won and you see how great a footballer he's become. But if we look at what they've done at Celtic alone, I'd probably say Carter Vickers is probably number one in that list just for what he's done for Celtic. He's been an absolute colossus and. You know, we were going to get into this, but second half started off much the same for Celtic in the first as the first half did. And Rangers looked at one point they should have been 2-0 up. It was a 4-on-1, Carter Vickers being the one, and he just had the wherewithal, the almost the grit, determination, and if it wasn't that, it was just instinct alone to stop Rangers going 2-0 up. It was absolutely colossal. So. Yeah, for what he's done for Celtic, you would have to say he's in the he's in the top two, and for me, he's number one. So, what about yourself?
No, okay, he's number one for me. Van Dijk obviously went on to have a better career and is obviously a better centre half. But in terms of at Celtic, I've said for a while Carter Vickers is the best Celtic can get in. You notice it when he's at the team, how much Celtic struggle they had their frailties last season. Maybe that's just the. I think they've got a bit better strength and depth with Trusty now. But last season, when it was like Scales and Welsh and out of favour Narowski, it just showed how important Carter Vickers is to that Celtic team.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the games that he missed last season. You probably thought that's where Celtic were at their weakest. It was a very much consistently changing backline of Scales and Welsh and Lagerbielke at points and Navrocki at points. And yeah, now it seems like a much more settled backline. Austin Trusty and Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, creating a really strong partnership. There kind of reminds me a little bit of and. It's not on the same level, but it's the same kind of when Rodgers came in at Celtic first time around. It was Zvechenko and Simunovic were building that partnership together before. I think it was Simunovic got injured and then Boyata came in. But again, Celtic, their squad depth really helped them yesterday. Liam Scales obviously replaced Austin Trusty yesterday as well. Dyson Maeda quickly, that. Much we've spoken about him and James Tavernier before the game. How well do you think James Tavernier coped with Dyson Maeda yesterday in terms of the one-on-ones?
Probably his best performances had against Maeda. He kept them quiet. Obviously, the goal from Maeda doesn't really come for Tavernier. It's more, it's a better of Balogun and it's a poor touch for Raskin, I think, in the middle of the park. But in terms of Tavernier and the one-on-one with Maeda, that's the best showing he's had against them. And I think that probably comes from just a bit. Tavernier's probably got more confidence. He played well against Tottenham on Thursday night, and he's a player who thrives. He's at his best when he's got that confidence, and a lot of the time he doesn't have it because he comes under a lot of flak, and he is the captain at the end of the day. He has to take that responsibility sometimes. But yesterday, it would have probably could excuse me, it would have been dreading that a month ago, and then I think last night he rehearsed it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of was made about it in the week going up to it is how well would James Tavernier cope? Would James Tavernier start? But I think, yeah, in the battles, certainly the one-on-ones, Tavernier dealt quite well with Maeda. Celtic's first goal comes from Greg Taylor, although some might argue that it was more Nico Raskin, because when I initially seen Greg Taylor take the shot, I was like, I wasn't expecting the ball to, you know, end up in the back of the net. It's a harsh one for Rangers, isn't it? They've went in, they've finished the first half really strongly. They've came out the second half. They could have been 2-0 up, you know, minutes earlier, and then they find themselves pegged back level from a deflected goal. Must be a hard one to take for Philippe Clementsman.
No, definitely. It's a really good performance against this Celtic team who are throwing away everybody who comes in their way. And then it's the harshest way to concede a deflected effort. Probably was going to be comfortably saved as well by Butland. But I think Greg Taylor will be getting a bit of deja vu. It's his second goal against Rangers at that end, and it's both been via deflections. So, but at the edge of the box, he's got to be got to be pressed down quicker, and if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle, as the saying goes.
No, well, that's fair. I mean, that's as a defender, when you're lining up to take a shot and it's coming from a corner, you're just hoping anyone's body, if they get in the way of it at the right time, it could end up in the back of the net. And yeah, you're spot on, as you say. Minutes later, Celtic had a chance to double their lead. They didn't, but then minutes after that, they did. Daizen Maeda took advantage of a slack pass or a slack touch from Raskin. Balogun had no chance. He couldn't bring Maeda down, and Maeda comfortably slotted home. When watching that, and I don't think anyone will disagree with me, Daizen Maeda is an incredibly, is one of the all-time greats for Celtic in recent memory. A lot of people, like myself, expected him to knock that ball over the bar. I don't know what you thought, but it's Daizen Maeda. He can either be really, really good, or he can be really, really, what's the word I'm looking for? Irritating when it comes to being in front of goal. Superb finish, though.
It's the most composed and in control of the ball I think I've ever seen. Daizen Maeda, he's like a bit. I think the word I would describe him as, he can be a bit erratic the way he hits the ball, the way he runs with it. But it's just that is he's a tool that only Celtic have, that energy off the ball in his work rate. It's must be a nightmare to come up against. And I think Brendan Rodgers said, might have been months ago now, he's probably the best in the world or one of the best in the world. That specifically, like off the ball, he is a bit erratic sometimes, but he's so important to that Celtic team the way Brendan Rodgers plays.
There's a rumour going round he's still running round Hampden. Unbelievable energy. Sorry, just had a bit of a mind blank there. Celtic went 2-1 up, seemed in control of the game a little bit. Then, towards the half hour mark into the last, 25 minutes, Rangers started to get back into the game. Diamande had a shot saved incredibly well by Kasper Schmeichel. The resultant corner resulted in Rangers equalising through Diomande. Schmeichel was unlucky though. I think it was a touch off Kyogo that took the ball into the net. At 2-2, you're thinking this could be April at Ibrox all over again. It must have been, for the fans, must have been an absolute emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. It was. I don't want to say it was against run of play because Rangers, as you said, they were coming back into the game, and it was. The game was on a knife edge, and we spoke about Greg Taylor getting that big slice of fortune. Diamandé, probably not as big a slice of fortune, but the touch I think definitely takes over Schmeichel. And it's just the moments in cup finals that get you back into the game because if Diamandé doesn't have that shot. Celtic showed up for another 5 minutes. Maybe Brendan Rodgers makes another change. You're going away for that game, and it's 2-1. Much less drama. So it's just I think cup final is about season moments, and they've done Rangers and Celtic both done that equally.
Yeah, not 100%. 9 minutes, Kuhn puts the ball in the back of the net. Lovely pass from Arne Engels. Slots it home. At that point, Brendan Rodgers surely thought they've done it. They've shaken Rangers off. But 21 seconds after the restart, ball's in the back of the net from Danilo. From a Brendan Rodgers and Celtic perspective, how annoying must that be?
It must be really irritating. It's just, I think in a cup final, if you scored that late on, tactics just go out the window, and you've just got to like show up, not make just make sure that the ball doesn't go in on net, and you go home with a cup. Ultimately, never happened. It's good, but it's a good ball, and I think you should be closed down quicker. I say that with Greg Taylor, the cross shouldn't be getting in with that much time, and then Danilo's just up like a salmon, and. It's a good header. It's across back across goal, and probably more drama than the 3-H at April and Ibrox. It was. I've never seen anything like it. I'm still digesting that a wee bit.
Yeah, it's a it was a it was a strange game, but an incredible game as well. Do you think Anthony Ralston and Carter Vickers can do better to stop Danilo getting into that position, or at least beat them to the ball?
I think. Ralston isn't close enough to him, and it's just beat way too easy. Carter Vickers has probably got one eye on the ball coming in and other player on the box, but It was made too easy in the game of that magnitude. It was made too easy to just rise up and knock it past Schmeichel. So I think Schmeichel's been let down by two. Aye.
Fair. Game went to extra time. There was nothing. Well, was there anything too significant in extra time? Oh wait, there might have been. Extra time resulted in Liam Scales quite early into the extra time receiving a yellow card for pulling the shirt of Rangers Cyril Dessers. This is the talking point that everyone's been talking about coming out of the game. Philippe Clement in his press conference was saying that his phone was overloaded with messages around whether or not that challenge should have resulted in a Rangers penalty. Mac, what did you think?
It's just the nature of the challenge with the shirt pull. It does grab his shirt, extends his arm, grabs his shirt, pulls him, and it's like he pulls him into the box. I think Celtic might have just got away with one.
Bobby
However,
Madden, oh.
in saying that, Clement just reeks of excuses for me. He made the excuses about the financial gulf prior to the game, and then post-match, he's focusing on the penalty that wasn't an incident. But then sometimes giving Rangers a free kick that close to the box with James Tavernier standing over it can be as good as a penalty. So, but you can do it against Celtic in particular.
Yeah, well, we have seen that from James Tavernier a good couple of times last season and the season before. He was grabbing goals galore in these matches. How not how frustrating. Bobby Madden does a social media review where he'll ask his followers on crucial and controversial incidents within the Scottish game. He'll show the clip and he'll ask, was it a penalty? Was it not a penalty? Was it a foul? Was it a red card, yellow card? All that stuff. He came out and said that it would have been, had he been the referee, it would have 100% been a penalty because Czerny's foot was on the line. Now, if we know it's on the line, it's technically in the box. It is a hard one to call. If it happens for you, you're saying, no, it's a free kick. A free kick's a fair decision. If it happens to you, you're screaming penalty. It's one of them. I think with VAR, should probably be saying we should try to get the best decision that we can on this. So it's unfortunate if you're a Rangers fan and if you're a Celtic fan and Liam Scales in particular, you're very fortunate. The game then goes to penalties. Quick one on this before we go into the penalties. Should Cyril Dessers have taken a penalty for Rangers before Ridvaan Yilmaz?
No, not in particular. I know he's a striker, but if Yilmaz felt more confident before it, I know there's a few people. Look, he's came under a bit of criticism, Dessers, for not stepping up and letting the young guy Yilmaz take it. But just position, age doesn't matter. If you want to take a penalty, you take a penalty. If you don't, you don't. It's and look, Tavernier had a bit of a queer comment. It was with it was respect to the people who are man enough to stand up, but if you don't want to take a penalty, don't take a penalty. And if Yilmaz wanted to take a penalty, then fair play to him. It was unfortunate.
Do you not think though, it's like in these games though, these massive derbies, cup finals, you're a striker, you want to score goals, you should want to. Do you think that's maybe like a mentality block for Cyril Dessers and Rangers, or do you just think it's one of those?
It probably is. He's. I think there's a question in his confidence. He's probably short of it. He's under criticism every second week by Rangers fans. But and as a striker, you should have that mentality that any chance you get to put a ball in it, you should be taking it. But I think more and more though, we're seeing young players with that mentality, that hunger. Like Lennon Miller, Motherwell captain, on an even wider scale, Jude Bellingham, a global phenomenon, and he's only late teens, early 20s. So mentality for me personally, it doesn't matter what age or how experienced you are, it's you either have it or you don't, you know what I mean?
No, that's fair. Every penalty almost from both sets of players was really spot on, bar the Ridvaan Yilmaz one. I don't even think it was a bad penalty. I thought it was a more an impressive save from Schmeichel. He gets down there, one hand, pushes it to the side. Daizen Maeda scored the winning penalty after the game. When he was on Celtic TV, he was asked about the penalty. He said he mishit it. Quite bold of him and probably candid of him to say. Do you think if Butland went the right way, he would have saved it? Or do you think the penalty was still, even though Maeda admittedly mishit it, do you think it was still a good enough penalty to beat Butland?
No, maybe Butland might have. It depends. I need to see it again if there was enough pace in it, if Butland went the right way. But it hits the side netting, and if that was a miss hit, then I don't want to see what he's actually hit would have been. I think he's getting away with a few miss hits. I think he miss hit that shot, that goal he scored against Bruges as well when he slips. So just kind of, well, if I'm dying away, I'd just keep miss hitting it.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. Celtic ran out 5-4 winners on penalties. A 3-3 finish. It sets us up nicely for 16 days' time when they meet again at Ibrox in the league. How much do you think Rangers will be relishing that league game to come back at again and say to Celtic, okay, well, you did it this time, you're not doing it now? Do you think that'll be the mentality, or do you think it might be something different?
This should be the most hungry Rangers team's ever been going at one of these derbies. It's a sickening, must be a sickening feeling losing it. The way they did as well was that's the worst way to lose on penalties. Luckily for them, they've got 2 weeks and they can hit them again. It's not like when they're playing them for another few months. They've got an immediate chance to, for in their opinion, set things right. And at Ibrox as well, we know away fans, they've probably not got a better opportunity. For the rest of the season, because we will have away fans at the last two. Well, hopefully, we'll have away fans at the last two.
And that was going to be my final sort of point on this was how important and how massive is it for this fixture that we have away fans back in the grounds, both at Celtic Park, at Ibrox, and as we see at Hampden Park, we get a 50-50 split. How important is it to get them back in?
Oh, it's massive. It's for every aspect for a fan. It makes the experience better. Me and you, we've been, both been to these derbies, and I've been home and away. Don't know about you, Stefan. It's just such a great occasion, and it's Scottish football's best product. I know a lot of people don't like it being too centralised on Celtic and Rangers, but it is our best product, and broadcasting it to that global audience with no fans, it does look a bit embarrassing, right? The Edinburgh Derby's got it nailed on. They've got the big allocations. And in an ideal world, Celtic and Rangers would have the full allocations back, but I think we're a bit far away from that. So a proper allocation is vital for these games. It adds to the occasion, it adds to the product, it adds to the game, it adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah, no, I think everyone would be aligned on that. I mean, there'll be people out there that would say, for the elements and the sort of bad side of this derby is that it's probably safer to have no away fans. But I think it's like an overall fan experience, and even as you say, for a global audience, this is the fixture in Scottish football, whether people want to accept that or they don't. It is the one that it's the biggest draw. It's the one everyone wants to watch. It has to have away fans back in it for good or for bad. So no, we're agreed on that. Massive ending to a weekend packed of action within the Scottish football calendar. Let's check back to Saturday now, and we will go through another topsy-turvy mental game, and it was Motherwell versus Dundee United. Motherwell opened the scoring through, I'm not even going to try and say his name, but Nah, I'm not even going to try and say it. I think it's
Papadopoulos or something.
I'm going to have to say it now. Hold on. It's Stamatilopoulos. We'll go with that, and if I'm
Good
wrong,
enough.
somebody can cane me for it. He opened the scoring in the first minute. Dolby responded on the 7th minute. Halliday scored on the 33rd, and God, he scored two. Stamatilopoulos scored on the 40th minute before Dolby got a goal in the 54th minute. Sparrow scored for Motherwell in the 67th, and Moult scored for Dundee United in the 87th minute. Just a crazy topsy-turvy game of football. What is it with Scottish football this weekend, just giving its goals galore? What was your thoughts on that one?
Just no shortage of drama. It was a great appetizer for the main event, which is the cup final. But a massive 3 points and a performance for Stuart Kettle. Oh, he's given under a lot of pressure. Probably would have wanted I think they were probably 4-2 up. 4-3 makes it look a tight game. Motherwell were probably in control of it for most of it, so he probably would have wanted a bigger margin by winning, but I think when you're under pressure, just a win's a win. Just get out of there with a win.
Yeah, well, that's spot on, and that win takes them above Dundee United in the table. Yeah, just a mad game of football. I'm just double checking that I've got my stats and everything correct. But yeah, as you say, Motherwell, probably being ahead for most of the game, probably were in control. But I mean, possession tells you that Dundee United, they were the ones that had the most of it, and they had more shots than Motherwell. So they can probably feel a little bit, had their day been a little bit better, had they been on their day a bit more, they could have probably won it. But yeah, a massive game to see who can sort of go ahead in the table. Going into next week, Motherwell coming up against Kilmarnock. That'll be a massive game on Friday night. I think that game's live on Premier Sports. And then Dundee United take on Celtic. So yeah. Quality game of football. For Stuart Kettlewell, do you think that maybe relieves some of the pressure on him?
It should, but this means nothing if you can't go into next week and get a result or at least a performance. Kilmarnock, they'll be needing a result as well. We'll go into Kilmarnock a bit later on, but they'll be needing to gather a bit of form. It'll be a good way to watch, and you said it's live on Premier Sports, so they're the type of games that I think should be getting promoted as well. It's two teams that really need to get a string of wins together, so pressure relieved temporarily. But needs to build on it with another performance next week.
No, that's absolutely spot on. Another game that had goals in it and goals galore was St Johnstone and St Mirren. It was Phillips that opened the scoring for St Mirren. Kirk equalised on the 52nd minute. Kempioka. Yes, Kempioka scored on the 81st minute, and I think Mooney scored on the 88th. And then St Mirren had a penalty in the 9th minute of injury time, to win 3-2. Again, Scottish football providing the goals. 5 goals in that game, 7 goals in the Motherwell game, and then 6 goals plus penalties in the game, in the League Cup final. Just Scottish football, unrivaled. Massive win for St Mirren and Stephen Robinson.
No, definitely. It's we were talking the last couple of episodes how good Vlachodite is doing at St Johnstone, but equally Stephen Robinson is done really well with St Mirren side and probably had to shake off a bit of bad form. I think they've had a lot of injuries. They had two academy products. Obviously Mooney get the goal. He's an academy product. Then shout out to Luke Kenny. He made his debut. I went to school, primary and secondary school with Luke, so I know his family. So a nice moment for them to see, and he made a brilliant tackle. I don't know if you've seen it, Stefan. It's on St Mirren's social media pages. It's a bit similar to Carter Vickers. It's like a 4-1, probably poor decision making for the attacker. But to be able to bring these young guys in and then still get a result in the way they did as well, there's no better winning than a no better way to win than a last minute winner. Maybe a penalty shooter is a bit better. But no, brilliant result for them, brilliant performance from their own players, and they'll be wanting to build on that next week as well.
Well, St Mirren, they go on and they take on Ross County next Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff up in Dingwall. That'll be another game St Mirren should, hopefully for them, look to be winning to try and solidify top six or 2 points ahead of Dundee. Dundee, who will take on Rangers at Ibrox, so it does give them a chance to, probably extend that gap and sort of lock into the top six. And then St Johnstone, they're coming up against it was I think it's Hearts at Tynecastle. It'll be a massive sort of be a massive game for both teams in that one because Hearts stuck now rooted at the bottom of the table. St Johnstone, I think they're not too far behind them. They're on 11th. So, a win for either of these teams will be crucial because if Hearts win, they route St Johnstone to the bottom of the table, and if St Johnstone win, then they're leaving Hearts in their wake. So it'll be two massive games. So, unlucky for St Johnstone and Vallacarry yesterday, but or on Saturday rather. But yeah, games to look forward to. The final game On Saturday's fixture was Hibernian 3, Ross County 1. Goals from Gale, Yuan, and Campbell, and then Campbell for Ross County. Massive win for Hibs and David Gray.
Huge. No, I don't think it can be overstated how vital that is for David Gray. They've probably, I think David Gray said on SportsScene after, they've probably played better in a lot of other games, but no get the points. So it's a good, it's that, I think this is the tide turning for David Gray. They've done well to start with him, and now I think they might start reaping the rewards. And there's, if you can win and not play well, then you're doing something right. And then I think the performances have been an issue. It's just getting the ball in the net. And start looks like they might be starting to do that. I've no idea look at their fixtures coming up, but hopefully it's a bit easier than what they've had.
Well, it's massive because they're away to Aberdeen next Saturday, and then they are away to Hibs at Hibs. They're away to Hearts on Boxing Day, the 12:30 kickoff. Hopefully that's on television. And then they're at home to Kilmarnock before facing St Johnstone in January away from home. So, tough games coming up. Aberdeen will be looking to try and put the brakes on Hibs there a little bit as they try to excel away from Rangers. Yeah, big couple of weeks for Hibs coming up. On the other side of that, Ross County, as I've already mentioned, they're going to take on St Mirren. Their final game sort of coming out to the year, the rest of the year, look like, I'm just trying to pull them up. Yeah, they look like they've got Dundee at home, Dundee away, and then Hearts at home before the 2nd of January. They're away to Aberdeen at Pittodrie. So not the most flattering run of games for Ross County, who also find themselves, not in the best positions in the table, but equally not in the worst position. And then yes, oh, I keep saying yesterday. Then Sunday's game, Kilmarnock versus Hearts, was a bit of a mental one. Kelly reduced to 10 men again, but still managed to pick the win up against Hearts. It was a penalty from Bruce Anderson in the 18th minute that saw them take all 3 points. Quickly, just on Kelly, Robbie Deiss sent off on the 6th minute, becoming a problem now for Kilmarnock, this discipline.
Absolutely. It's just as a red card. Before I say it, as a red card, I think it looks a bit worse because I think Vargas, maybe it's just due to the power of the tackle, but it looks like Vargas's foot kind of slips at the same time he makes the tackle. So, but maybe that is just because of the nature of and the force of the challenge. But enough's enough. You know what I mean? Derek Guinness has got to have a bit of a word with him. That's seven red cards. We're not even at Christmas. This is
Yeah.
it is a bit unheard of. And you wonder how many more they're going to get unless I don't know if is there repercussions for if you have X amount of red cards in a season. I'm not sure, but
I'm not sure. I know that in Europe, there's a rule that if you get more than 5 yellow cards in one game, you're susceptible to financial punishment. But I don't know what it is for Scotland. But it is becoming a bit of a headache for Derek McInnes. But it is also becoming a bit of a, it's becoming a bit of a running joke now is like, red card bingo in the Kilmarnock team. Who's going to be next? It is dreadful. It'll be something Derek McInnes has to sort out. Neil Critchley must be disappointed not to take advantage of the fact Kelly are down to 10 men. They had 75% possession, 14 shots, but only managed to get 4 shots on goal compared to Kelly's 7 shots and their 5 on target. So it's a bit of. It looked like Kelly took their chances more than Hearts ever did. And that's a problem for Hearts because now they are rooted to the bottom of the table. Do you think Hearts are in bother, or do you still think there's enough time for them to turn it around?
there is enough time for them to put turn it around, but I think my exact words a couple of weeks ago was just Hearts are probably just too good to go down. But for almost halfway through the season and their bottom level games played well, everyone down there and they are bottom. They've changed the manager. Neil Critchley never pulled any punches in his interview. He was dismayed by what he saw at Rugby Park. But there is enough time to turn it around. And then I think teams like Ross County, St Johnstone, if they stop getting points, even Kilmarnock as well, you're in for a bit of a dogfight, Hearts. But What's the word I'm looking for? They're not entitled to stay in the league. They need to back up with performances. We've saw Hearts go down twice in the last 10 years, so they need to wisen up, and or else it'll be a third.
Yeah, 3 times in 11 years wouldn't be a good look for one of, the top teams in Scottish football in terms of stature. Okay, that is us done for this week's episode. Because it is only two of us, it would be unfair to make you run through a quiz, Mac, even though you would probably win it, seeing your form over the last couple of weeks. But we don't have one today, so if that's all you were listening for, sorry. Bad news. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Stefan in with Mac today. We will be back next Monday from 4 p.m. on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else that you listen to your podcasts on. We will be there. Thanks, and we'll see you all soon.